It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Happy Super Tuesday, everybody. Here's how you can be a part of the show in the 6 o'clock hour. You can give us a call at 1-844-477-3776. That number again is 1-844-GSP. ESPN is the number. The text line is there for you at 71307. Just start your text with the word ESPN and away you go. Twitter, where if you follow us on our station account, at ESPN Upstate, we'll give you a shout-out here live and on the air. You can also follow Lonzo at Lonzo on Word, where the Offsides has made Lonzo a star. Coming up on 1,000 followers is Lonzo on the Twitter account.
Hey, you heard yourself doing the sexy voice on the promo, and now you keep doing it. You know you're doing it, right?
Is that what it is, Lonzo? Is it sexy to you?
I
didn't realize it was sexy
to
you.
Yeah, I'm melting.
That's amazing, Lonzo. That is such a compliment that my voice is sexy to you.
I am melting over here. If you were in the room,
I would touch your hair.
Lonzo,
keep it under the table, please. Please keep it all under the table. I really, really appreciate it if you would do that, okay? I don't putt from the rough. I do appreciate it if you would keep all of that.
There ain't no under-the-table action happening here. No, thank you.
All right. And also, you can email the show, Mark Ryan, M-A-R-C Ryan, at ESPNUpstate.com. All of the different ways you can get in touch with us here on the most interactive sports show in the state of South Carolina. Texter says, why all the noise? By the way, can I just say this? You guys have been unfreaking believable on the text line the couple of days out of Thanksgiving. Unbelievable. Lonzo, our record for texts in a show, number of texts coming into the show, we are just a few texts away from breaking that here on the show. A few texts away. Mark, yes, Dabo Sweeney is a whiny little baby, but he has her. He has Herbie to wipe his tears. Kirk Herbstreit will wipe the Dabo tears. Dabo's been crying a lot lately. Let's be honest. He has been crying a lot lately. He's been crowing. Dabo today still talking about Florida State 10 days later. We had a runaway bride with the Seminoles. We were walking down the aisle. I don't think we should have to prepare to play Florida State again. We're paid to prepare for 11 games. Why should we have to prepare to play for 12? Paraphrasing Dabo Sweeney.
I got to say, for shame to any media people who are still asking him those questions so he can embarrass himself by talking about this still. No. Let it go, man.
Well, how about Florida State postponing every game they play?
Good for Florida State being willing to be concerned about the human beings and not the football players.
That's what you're going with? Thank God you weren't here last Monday, man.
Yeah,
what
I was so glad I wasn't, because I knew you'd take Clemson's side.
What
I knew
a bunch
you absolutely
of
would. Whatever. You know, you're Mr. Wear a Mask. And save sports and all that kind of stuff. But a team decides to say, hey, you've got cases, and Clemson has had a bunch of cases multiple times, and they don't want to play them, and all of a sudden, you're just scared. And no, they're not. They're concerned about the human beings and not the football
pathetic
game. And I would think that you would stand up for that.
What Florida State just pulled would be like if I said to Ingles, I'm not doing a live show at Ingles unless I get a negative test from everybody that walks in the door ahead of time.
Yeah, don't do that.
No, I mean that would be the same thing. And I don't do that, Lonzo. I show up to Ingles, I do the show, we have a great time doing it. Florida State was part of 15 member institutions that agreed to the protocols in place by the ACC. Then the protocols were met and adhered to and passed. And Florida State said, no, we ain't playing. We played in games earlier in the year. You don't know this, Lonzo, but Pittsburgh popped with a positive test the same day that they played Florida State. Before kickoff, Florida State was made aware of it. They played. What happened in the Clemson game? They decided not to play. And what did Mark Ryan say? Mark Ryan said, this is going to result in them not playing another game the rest of this season.
All I can say is you're going to the ACC championship. You're going to the playoffs. Stop whining about it. Let it go, man. He's just pandering to that part of the Clemson fan base, the ones that call the show, the ones who text.
It's so entertaining.
He is pandering to them. He is riling them up for no reason. You know why? Because what we talked about earlier, because Clemson is boring. So he's trying to do anything he can to rile that fan base up. That's what he's doing.
It's working. This is the Dabo comments on Florida State. Those are the most interesting thing about Clemson football right now.
And that's sad. Right, that is completely sad.
Well, that's it's not their fault. It's the ACC's fault for not giving them any legitimate competition, save for a rent-a team, Notre Dame, that's not normally in the conference.
They did give them competition, and they didn't beat them.
Let's get to Neil in Greer, who's up next here on the show. Neil, thanks so much for the call, pal. You're offsides.
What's going on, Mark? You know, it's amazing that football, let's say the NFL, is a billion-dollar company, and they just can't get some things right. Let me give an example. Okay, so you score a touchdown. You get a personal foul. The team that gets the personal foul, the other team elects to get it on the kickoff, right? So they move the ball 15 yards, let them kick it off from there. My question for you is, and you're pretty sports savvy, why is it that once it goes into the back of the end zone, why don't they get it half the distance to the goal at that point instead of still at the 25-yard line? Because then at that point, there's no penalty. Because, of course, they're going to kick it out of the back of the end zone.
Doesn't make a lot of sense, does it?
Think about it. It's not. I mean, I've never understood. Okay, for example, teams got they've got a 7-point lead with 3 minutes to play. The other team's got one timeout. The offensive team comes out and gets a holding. It helps them. It doesn't hurt them. You know why? Because they start the clock back up. Once again, makes no sense. You can
I'll tell you. We've seen coaches in the NFL completely take advantage of crap like that. Mike Vrabel won a game earlier this year by like getting penalties to stop the clock. You know what I mean? And he kept doing that. Got penalties to wind the clock. And the NFL's got to close those loophole stat.
You just kind of jumped into what I was getting ready to bring up, which is Mike Vrabel, to be honest with you. I don't remember what game it was, but a team they were playing, they were down. They were trying to stop the clock. The team got 8 yards on first down. They didn't come out and say that Vrabel told his defensive player to jump off sides, but this was my next point. That's why he is such a good coach. It's better for that team to be in first and 10 if you've got one timeout with 3 minutes to go than it is for that team to be in second and 2 in that same situation, and here's why. They have 2 downs to pick up 2 yards, one yard per play. If they get it on second or third down, the game is essentially over. However, if you jump off sides and you put them first and 10 with the same amount of time, at that point they still have to get 10 yards to get another first down. The chances of you getting a stop at that point is greater. Yes, you're going to run off a few more seconds, but you will at least get the ball back. It was absolutely genius on his part, and I am damn sure that it was him that called it from the sideline. I don't remember what Tennessee player it was, but it was obvious that he did it on purpose, and it was obvious that it came from the sidelines. But some of these guys, the Vic Fangios, the Anthony Lynns of the world, they honestly are getting paid for absolutely doing nothing. I don't get it, Mark. I just don't understand how these guys can call themselves NFL head coaches, and even more so, how these GMs can stay in their jobs by hiring these guys and keeping them there. Can you please tell me that before I get to my final point?
Neil, I don't understand it. I don't get it. I don't understand it at all. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But that is the lay of the land right now in the National Football League. And look, I always want my coach towing the line of where the rules are. And Vrabel is towing that line like a boss. How much better would Deshaun Watson and the Texans be had they just gotten rid of their head coach, the crappy Bill O'Brien, and promoted Mike Vrabel before he went to Tennessee? Would have been such a different scenario there, man.
Let me tell you something. I remember Tennessee and Denver. I think it was game one. Dum-dum, Vic Fangio. Tennessee was obviously going to get a field goal to take the lead. They had 2 timeouts in the back pockets. When I say they, I mean the Broncos. Dude didn't call either one of them. They ended up running out the time and kicking a field goal as the time expired. A couple of weeks later, they're playing Tampa. They're down by 18 points with 2 minutes to play. And Vic Fangio is calling timeouts. Are you kidding me right now? Listen, Mark, you talked about Deshaun Watson, and he was actually going to be my last point. 49ers, it is so obvious to me now that when they're healthy, they're the best team in the NFC. They're right there with Kansas City as still the best team. I just wish that they would put a package together and somehow, some way, go get Deshaun Watson, because it would be hella fun over the next 4 or 5 years seeing Deshaun Watson go against Patrick Mahomes almost yearly. That would be such fun to watch. I know it's not going to happen, but damn it, I just don't understand. With all these great things that they've done, why in the hell they keep harping on Jimmy Garoppolo being their starter? Dude, I would put you out there, Mark, and let you get hit a couple
times. Listen, man. Don't hate on these 43-year-old white boy skills, man. Don't hate. All right? Appreciate.
Well, I think Matt Ryan would probably be able to throw a bubble screen kind of like Trevor Lawrence. The only problem is if he turned around and the bubble screen was covered and then a 250-pound linebacker came at him, he'd probably start coughing before the guy got
Excuse me. I
got COVID.
Neil, the bubble is in my belly, my friend. The bubble is in my belly. Make sure you get that right. Neil Pappas, thanks.
That's a six-month-old baby, sir.
Thanks so much for the call, man. I do appreciate it. We do have some breaking news. Breaking news on ESPN Upstate is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Find out how far an extra mile really goes. Lonzo might have foreshadowed something for the Big Ten, but it didn't happen in that conference. It's happening in the ACC. Notre Dame has been gifted a spot in the ACC championship game. Clemson and Notre Dame will now both not play on December 12th. They will instead play December 19th in the ACC championship game, and Notre Dame has been gifted a spot in. The ACC is changing its laws, changing its rules right now. Lonzo says they're about to do that with Ohio State. I think that would be a crime against humanity. Ohio State needs to play the six games required to play in the Big Ten championship game, and then they need to win the Big Ten championship game.
Unless they change the rules and make it four games required, and then they will be following the rules.
So here is where we are with the ACC championship game right now. Clemson only has to beat Virginia Tech on Saturday. We say only, and they'll probably beat them just like they beat Pitt 52-17, man. But that's it.
What happens if Clemson lost? Who would be playing
Miami.
Notre Dame?
Miami.
Okay, all right.
Miami and Notre Dame.
I don't think Clemson's going to lose.
The cool thing about that is that we haven't seen Miami play Notre Dame this year, but I think Notre Dame wins that game by about 10 points. And I think Clemson wins by at least 10 points in the rematch with everybody back, everybody healthy. Mike Jones Jr., James Skalski, Trevor Lawrence, etc. I watched the Clemson game on ESPNU. They had kind of the all-22 camera, and you heard no announcers, and the darn crowd at Death Valley was so quiet that it was just, you could hear a pin drop. But I really liked it because you could see, just like, it's the same view as when you're playing NCAA football 2009, EA Sports. It's in the game. It was that same view. And here's what I gleaned from that view that I wouldn't glean in a regular broadcast. Trevor Lawrence is benefiting from some elite athletes that the other teams in the ACC just can't compete against. You know, people are saying, oh, Kyle Trask doesn't deserve the Heisman because he's got all those weapons. Let me tell you, man, Cornell Powell is Clemson's version of DK Metcalf. Physically, these ACC teams can't keep up with him. Then they have their own version of Jaquez Green with Amari Rodgers, and they can't keep up with that cat either. And when you get the all-22 viewpoint, and when you can see these guys running routes, I think Trevor Lawrence is great, but it's like Neil just said, I could complete some of these passes. You don't see that view when you watch the regular football broadcast. So anyway, the breaking news, the ACC has changed its rules. Boy, changing the rules, different rules for different people. Bobby Bowden once said, you're darn right I'm starting Janikowski even though he missed curfew. You're darn right there's different rules for different people. The ACC has now Notre Dame not playing Wake Forest. Notre Dame's in the ACC championship game, and Clemson is but a win away. Boy, is it amazing how you protect those who butter your bread. All right, coming up next, you know, I believe that South Carolina can win a national championship. I don't believe their ceiling is below the top of the land in college football. What do you say about that? Cole Bryson, Lonzo, and I are going to duke it out next. Plus, we'll get a preview on all of the state championship action with Cole Bryson, host, voice of Burns Football, and host of the Saturday Scramble, which can be heard right here on ESPN Upstate, 8 to 10 a.m., is coming your way next, right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan. Let's get to Cole Bryson, who is our high school football expert and the host of the Saturday Scramble here on ESPN Upstate. Cole, appreciate the time, man. Open the show, Cole, today by asking the question, is it possible to win a national title in Columbia, South Carolina? Is that the ceiling? My former co-host, Booger McFarland, says no, says it is not the ceiling. I was chatting about this with him earlier. He said that's not the ceiling. He thinks what Spurrier did, three straight back-to-back-to-back top 10 finishes, he thinks that's the ceiling. Can you win a national title in Columbia, Cole?
Yeah, if today is April Fool's Day, are you kidding me, Delvin? What are we talking about, women's basketball? No, there's no chance of South Carolina winning a national championship. In football, are we talking about football, Mark?
So what stands in the way of them winning a national title? Yeah, what stands in the way of
it? Well, how long do you have? I mean, get your legal pad out. Number one is the biggest reason, in my opinion, is the culture at South Carolina is not in a spot to even come close to winning an SEC championship. And Steve Spurrier led that program to great success, but many don't remember Steve Spurrier Jr. kind of burnt that program down. The way that the recruiting just all of a sudden fell off. And, you know, there's a lot standing away, in my opinion. Number one, the culture. I think the right head coach has not been in Columbia since Steve Spurrier left. Steve Spurrier took them, and I would probably agree with Booger that the hike of that program is what they've already accomplished, and that's five straight seasons of 11 wins with Connor Shaw and Thompson and Lattimore. They were fantastic, but I think they've reached their height, and I don't think a national championship in football is coming in their future anytime soon.
By the way, I just want to mention this is coming from a Clemson fan, and, you know, things were said the same thing about Clemson, and then suddenly they got it done. There's no way anyone in the world except for Clemson fans, thought that Clemson could do what they're doing now. So it's not an impossibility. It's just out of the realm of possibility for someone with orange-tinted glasses.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Cole. You've been in this area a long time. Lonzo's been in this area a long time. I'm glad Lonzo jumped in because I was going to ask Lonzo next to tell you why you're wrong. We open the show with this. Lonzo says, hell yeah, you can win a national championship at South Carolina. I lean yes as well, Cole. I lean yes as well. You need to do, you got to have a few years of culture building. I agree with that. But if you look at the list of national champions in college football, Cole, I would argue you go down to 1991, Washington won the national title. Not a blue blood college, right? Colorado won it in 1990. Georgia Tech won it in 1990. Not blue blood programs. I would even argue Clemson is becoming a blue blood program now, but they weren't prior to 2015. So why not?
Well, listen, if South Carolina were in the ACC, I may give them a slim chance, and it'd still be a slim chance. But you listen, the reality is they're in the SEC. The SEC isn't going to fall off. They've been the cream of the crop for you know, how many decades now. It's not like all of a sudden when Nick Saban leaves that the SEC is all of a sudden going to fall off and the ACC is going to be the next big thing. No, you're in the SEC. You got to get to Atlanta first. And South Carolina hadn't been to Atlanta. You can't get to national heights where you can get to Atlanta. Come on, let's put one step in front of the other. And yeah, they've played for one and lost to Auburn. They have never even won an SEC championship. And we're talking about the possibility of them winning a national championship? No.
Okay, well, you got to crawl before you can walk. I get that. But, you know, if we're talking Vandy, okay, then I think you have an argument. If you get the right coach in Columbia, I think everything changes. The difference between Vandy's opening and South Carolina's opening, Cole, is that in Vanderbilt, they're indifferent. There's very little you can do with indifferent. They're very passionate in Columbia. You can do a lot with that passion. All right.
Well, last thing I'll say for South Carolina, their national championship, and it's always been this way and it'll always be this way, beating Clemson is South Carolina's national championship.
So insulting. That is so insulting to say. Do you understand
That's also a bunch of crap. That is not true. It's coming from a different perspective.
It is true.
I know no one who's a Gamecock fan who thinks that way.
Well, you don't know many people anyways. I mean, you have like one neighbor.
That's besides the point.
Hey, Alonzo asked the trees in his neighborhood, and he didn't like the answer that they gave him there, Cole.
How many neighbors do you know, Mark?
Uh,
Negative 511, Lonzo. Negative 511. Yeah. No, I don't know many, but I at least live around people. I will say that. But Cole, here's what I would say, man. I think you are defining the ceiling for South Carolina. I opened up by saying nobody defines your ceiling but you. Chadwick Boseman right. didn't go to T.L. Hanna and decide, you know, think that he could be the Black Panther, and he was. Yep. You know, he dared to see outside the box. So, you know, as a Clemson fan, you want to put your throat on the Gamecock football program, and I get that. It's not possible tomorrow for the Gamecocks to win a national championship, but is there anything that can't be removed from that program, any problem that can't be solved that would stand in the way of them winning a national championship? And to that, I would say what's happened at Clemson is proof that it can be done at South Carolina.
Yeah, and that's a totally fair point. I mean, every program, every culture has to have that mindset of, hey, there's nothing that's stopping us from getting to the top. And you're right. Clemson got there. But I think the situation that Clemson was in is a lot different than the situation that South Carolina's in now. And, you know, it'd be much – I think the ladder for Clemson was a lot shorter than the ladder is for South Carolina.
The ladder – oh, boy. And Cole just said beating Clemson is South Carolina's national championship. Do you guys find that as offensive as I do? If you're a Gamecock fan, are you offended by that? Texter says, got to have good out-of-state recruiting. The talent pool is shallow around here. That is 100% accurate. Mark, the height of U of SC's success is to hope to beat Clemson. This guy agrees with Cole. If you don't believe me, ask yourself how many times you've heard. Let me see here. Ask yourself how many times you've heard that USC beat Clemson 5 times in a row. A lot. That's to be fair. I've heard that a lot. Steve Spurrier, a texter said we have to get past the goal of beating Clemson as our top goal when he was hired. Has South Carolina gotten?
Yes.
Do you agree with that?
That's 100% correct. Yes, absolutely. If your goal is to beat Clemson, that's all you'll ever do. You said it, Mark. How far do you want to take your program? I think that texter or whoever said that, I think that's the best way to put it.
And so I would agree wholeheartedly with that. I would really agree. If your national championship is beating Clemson, you are setting the bar for yourself way too low. We got, man, did we ever, have we been found yet? We got so far off on a dirt road on this topic, man. Well, let's go back to the main road.
I just want to say I'm going to trip Cole next time I see him.
There you go, Cole. It's coming your way. Coming your way. And if it's not Lonzo, it's going to be his evergreen tree neighbors. South Carolina has always been a party school and not interested in a natty, a texter says. Another texter says, I believe Coastal Carolina is closer to a national championship than U of SC. So we have a texter saying, you know, they'd rather be a party school than win a national championship. If you're a Gamecock fan, you should be offended. Lonzo said yesterday that his hope for they could hire a toad, and the toad would be better than Will Muschamp, and Will Muschamp is satisfied. Lonzo is satisfied with that. You should be embarrassed by that if you're a Gamecock fan. And Cole Bryson came on these airwaves today and said South Carolina's national championship is beating Clemson. If you are a Gamecock fan, you should be offended by all of these things. But we appreciate Cole hanging on the line anyway. Cole, hope you had a great Thanksgiving, man. Okay, let's get to some high school football here. State championship weekend is here. We made it here. We had a lot of doubts that we would get here. Amazingly, I haven't heard of many, if any, COVID cases at all as we get closer to the state championship, Cole. How did we arrive at this place?
It's gone. Right?
COVID has vanished, right?
Yeah, it's exactly what we predicted and what we talked about here on the show. We knew that there were a lot of cases during the regular season, and you know, teams can afford to take 2 weeks during the regular season because your season's not over. But we knew that when the playoffs came around, due to the firm set-in-stone schedule by the high school league, that there were not going to be any chances of any teams getting COVID in the postseason. And I, you know, look across the state, look back 3 weeks, and nope, not a peep. So we are where we are.
But we have made it here. We have gotten here, and right. and look, Dorman, Burns, Gaffney not making the upper state championship. Where do those programs go from here?
Wow. That's huge. I mean, you talk about three teams in the upstate who are pretty predominant in playing in at least the upper state championship, if not the state championship, in the past decade. Those three teams have had their fair shares of appearances in the state championship. And, you know, I don't want to insult teams who – this statement's going to sound very not demeaning to the teams that have made it this far, but I think when you look across the board at the state – this year, this is just my opinion, I think high school football is a little down, and I don't want to say that in a way that makes it seem like, well, the teams that reached Columbia aren't deserving and they got there because other teams were down. I just think across the board, taking everything into effect with COVID, I think the play of football, at least the play I saw this year, was down in terms of what it normally is. And, you know, Dorman, a team that was very good this season, and Gaffney was – this was a team that, you know – had the team to make their run to the state championship. That didn't happen. They got beat by T.O. Hanna, and Burns is obviously down this year as well. But, it is what it is. But I'll tell you what, those three teams between Dorman, Burns, and Gaffney, they won't be down for long. One of those three teams will probably be playing for the upper state championship again next year.
Let's certainly hope that is the case. T.L. Hanna versus Dutch Fork. Is there any chance for the local team?
Oh, I was hoping you weren't going to ask me that.
How about this? If an upset were to happen, how does it happen?
Yeah, T.L. Hanna controls the clock, and they control time of possession, and they control the line of scrimmage. And what I mean by that, T.L. Hanna runs that two-back wing offense where it's run heavy. They threw the ball twice last Friday night at the Northwestern game that I went to. And they do it well. They really do it well. They did it well against Northwestern. They obviously did it well enough to beat Gaffney. But if they're going to pull the upset, Mark, they're going to have to control the time of possession unlike any other game that's ever been played in the history of high school football. When we look at that final stat sheet, we would have to say, wow, T.L. Hanna had the ball for this amount of time compared to Dutch Fork, who's a high-potent, high-powered offense like they've always been. T.L. Hanna's going to have to keep that Dutch Fork offense on the sideline.
Cole Bryson joining us here, host of the Saturday Scramble and voice of Burns football right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. Rumor is this could be we could be watching the last games of some noteworthy head coaches here, Cole.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. When you look across the state, there's some coaches who are close to retirement, and you know, we'll start with Dan Jones right up the road in Gaffney. 3 years ago, Dan Jones looked me in the eye and told me that he was done. Fast forward 3 years later, he is still the head coach. I did reach out to Coach Jones a couple of weeks back after Gaffney lost, and have not heard back from him yet as to whether he will reapply for the head coaching job at Gaffney. Now, as far as Dutch Fork goes, Tom Knotts, you know, I asked several guests last week on my Saturday show about their thoughts on Tom Knotts and a couple of writers in Columbia. And the consistent message across the board is that people really aren't sure if Tom Knotts is going to be back at Dutch Fork. It wouldn't surprise us if he is, but the common theme is that there are a lot of people out there who think Tom Knotts could go look for another challenge if he were to win his fifth straight championship and do something that's never been done in South Carolina and win five in a row. And I agree. I think if Tom Knotts does win Friday night and wins his fifth in a row, I think there are a lot of intriguing jobs down the coast where he wants to be, particularly south a state, where he could find a really good job. You know, in Georgia, they play all the way up to 6A. I mean, it's big boy football down there. And I think if the right position opened up, I think Tom Knotts and you know, you have – if Dan Jones were to retire, and you got a lot of guys who are getting close to retirement. I mean, Dave Gutshaw at Dorman, he's very close. He's told me in recent years that he's not far from retirement. So there's a lot of big jobs that could be open, and that'll be huge storylines if that happens.
All right, we have 3 minutes left, and we have five games to pick. Southside Christian versus Lakeview, Cole.
Southside Christian, when they've gotten bumped down to 1A, I said that Southside Christian would be the class of 1A, and that they have proved that. They will take care of business on Friday, in my opinion, and I think Southside Christian will be the state champs in 1A.
2A, Marion versus Abbeville.
Abbeville's been the team to beat all year. I know Marion's very good, but Abbeville has shown that, you know, you're not going to score on Abbeville. Not only are you not going to beat them, you're just not going to score on them. Abbeville is really good, and I think Abbeville wins the 2A state championship.
Daniel versus Camden in 3A.
I think this is the best matchup. Yeah, this is the best matchup of the weekend. I mean, two powerhouses. I've seen Daniel. I also saw Camden in the regular season when they came up to play Burns. Camden, let me tell you, Mark, everybody's picking Daniel to win this game. But I've seen Camden, and I've seen Daniel both in person, and I think Camden's going to pull it off Friday night. They are such a good football team. I like Camden, the Bulldogs, to win the 3A state championship.
Over to 4A we go, North Myrtle Beach and AC Flora.
North Myrtle Beach defeated Myrtle Beach last Friday to advance to the state championship, but, you know, as good as North Myrtle Beach is, I don't see it happening. AC Flora has been maybe the hottest team in South Carolina since the playoffs have started, and the way that they've just been lighting up the scoreboard. I like AC Flora to get it done in 4A.
And then finally, here we go, T.L. Hanna, Dutch Fork. He was hoping I wouldn't ask him the question, but now it cannot be avoided.
I think, you know, the way I saw Tom Knotts this morning in his press conference, you know, with his hat on, his mask on, leaned back with his arms crossed, and his kind of, you know, just as comfortable as I've ever seen Tom Knotts, Mark. T.L. Hanna's good, but I don't think this one's close. I think Dutch Fork rolls on Friday night and wins their fifth straight championship, something that's never been done in the history of South Carolina high school football.
Your Cole is 86-28 on the season. If you are wrong on one of your five championship picks, which one are you most likely to err on?
3A, Daniel Camden. I think that whoever has the football last wins. I think that's the closest game of the weekend. And it's hard to pick Camden because Daniel's so good, but I think that's the most iffy game of the weekend.
All right, how about a really quick exercise with the minute we have left? If Las Vegas gave us lines on these games, what would the lines be, Cole? Southside Christian versus Lakeview.
I'd say Southside Christian would probably be favored by a touchdown.
-7. Okay. Yep. Marion versus Abbeville in 2A.
I think Abbeville is the clear favorite here. I wouldn't go much more. You know, I'll go a little bit more than a touchdown. I'd probably go 9. I think Abbeville would probably be favored by 9 or so. Now, these are state championships. They'll be close. But I think 9 is a pretty big spread for a state championship.
Daniel Camden.
I think it's, you know, pick them, toss them up in the air and see where they land. I think it's just a straight-up pick them.
North Myrtle Beach, AC Flora.
I think AC Flora is favored by 3 here. If it were to be a such thing.
And T.L. Hanna versus Dutch Fork. Give me the real line, Cole. Come on now.
I would say the real line would probably be Dutch Fork -11.
-11. I've seen 11-point upsets. Appreciate it, Cole. Yep. Thank you so much, man. Make sure you tune into the Saturday Scramble this Saturday, 8 to 10 a.m. right here on ESPN Upstate. It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Let's hit it with either or. All right, Lonzo, what do you got?
All right, 21 days from now, the NBA season starts.
Oh, my God.
Which
Every time I hear that, I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
I know. Which one of these teams will make the playoffs? New Jersey, Charlotte, or Golden State?
This is the easiest thing ever, and it's New Jersey, man. Are you kidding me? You kidding me? They might even have James Harden, man, but the Rockets are saying not right now. Look, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, that is a no-brainer. Golden State does not have Klay Thompson this entire year.
Well, I agree. I just wanted to dog Golden State, so I set the entire thing up to point out that Golden State will not make the playoffs again for another year. Go suck on your binky, Steph.
Nice guy, I tell you. Lonzo, will you watch the CFP reveal show tonight?
I think it happens while I'm on my way home, so no.
Don't have the DVR set to record?
No. I'll look at it when I get home, find out what it was. I mean...
I'll probably have it on while I'm on my phone doing other things, and I'll just, you know, see if I see anything that's interesting, such as Ohio State potentially dropping to 6. You know, that would be interesting to me. But we'll see. We'll see how it rolls.
It's amazing what brings you joy.
It is. It is. Really is. What do you got, Lonzo?
All right. Ripley's Believe It or Not is offering $10,000 for info on the Utah Monument. Monolith. Have you seen that? There's a monolith.
What the hell's that?
There's a
monolith. What is a monolith?
You'll have to look it up. It's a statue, basically. It just suddenly appeared in Utah. Well, now it's gone. It's disappeared. No one knows how it got there. Now it's gone. But it's since shown up in Romania. So is this a video game ad, a movie stunt, or a device to measure the atmosphere for future alien takeover?
You know, all these weird questions you ask always have something to do with aliens. I have no idea what that is, and I'm not smart enough to answer this question.
Obviously, the answer is it is a device to measure the atmosphere for future alien takeover. Now, you haven't seen a monolith. You haven't seen things that suddenly appear in the desert, and there's a big deal about it. And then later on, you find out it was for a video game or for something else. It's stirring up a bunch of attention, and then you find out that it was a publicity stunt. You need to look it up, though. It's cool looking and also freaky, and it just is showing up in places. And the fact that they can't figure out where it came from. You're scared now, aren't you?
Terrified. Absolutely terrified. All right. Lonzo, we've been talking about blue blood programs on the show today in relation to South Carolina and whether they can win a national championship at that school. Which downtrodden but blue blood program has the best chance of a resurgence, Miami, Tennessee, or Texas?
Wow. I'm going to go Miami. They seem to be on the more upward tick than the other two. Tennessee, though, they're up and coming.
Up and coming when exactly? When? Next year? The year after that? 21, 22, 23? Right? We'll be told that every year, right?
Oh, Tennessee people. I wonder if Tennessee people hate me as much as Clemson people. I don't know.
I think Texas is most likely for the long-term resurgence, but Miami on the short-term for sure. All right, Lonzo, what do you got?
Well, I didn't think we'd have time for another one, but let's try to squeeze it in. All right, an unlucky bettor lost $500,000 on Monday night after the Eagles scored a late touchdown and then went for the two-point conversion. Do you think coaches check the betting line and troll gamblers by going for two, or is it just coincidence?
I've got to say something about this. I have seen more players care about that, or coaches coaching in line with understanding what the betting line is this season, than I've ever seen before. Florida against Kentucky, they needed a touchdown to cover the spread. Dan Mullen was trying to score it, and they were bummed when they didn't get it. And the players knew, and the coaches knew. Back in the day, it was like the players acted like they didn't even know what the spread was. Now everybody knows, and now everybody's trying to cover. It is crazy, man. Crazy.
Yeah, I think they're looking at the lines. I think they're trolling. I really do.
We'll close the show with a take to take with you next here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. Man, tell me how great Beck, I'm a Loser Baby is. I mean, that's one of those songs you didn't even realize how great it was. It's like one of those movies that wasn't overly popular right when it came out, but then over time builds a cult following. Ferris Bueller's Day Off is more popular now than it was when it ever came out. It's one of those timeless movies. It doesn't matter how old you are, when you saw it, all the above. It's fantastic.
I forgot I wasn't supposed to play Beck anymore. I got to make sure I remove that.
What are you talking about? Nobody said that.
Doesn't fit the format.
Nobody said that. Would you stop? Nobody said that. Check on the text line. Why all this noise about Dabo, Mark? He's going to New York with Trevor next year. Ooh. A prediction as to Dabo's future digs. I do believe, ladies and gentlemen, there is a 50-50 shot that Dabo is not at Clemson sometime in the next 5 years. 50-50. If you're a Clemson fan, do you agree or disagree with that? 71307.
Yeah, like you have time to do it. I mean, come on. Stop with this NFL stuff. Dabo's not going anywhere. He is a god at Clemson. Why would he go anywhere else? And he wouldn't be successful in the NFL anyway.
You guys almost made me vomit driving home under the table with that conversation about you and Lonzo, Mark, under the table. Number two, of course, Dabo keeps talking about Florida State. It somehow seems to motivate his team. So I'm hanging around Rob Brown too much because I keep saying the word cat, evidently. You know, like, we start replicating whoever we're around, you know, on a daily basis. It's amazing how many things you just pick up from
people.
I'm
sorry, I don't know what you're talking about.
What? Huh?
You didn't get it.
No.
The I'm sorry.
No. Oh,
going along with what you're just not really paying attention.
Yeah, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. I get it. All right, CFP tonight. My prediction, Ohio State falls out of the top four. Will I be right? Will Lonzo be right? Cannot wait to see it. This is starting to get very interesting. Tomorrow on the show, is South Carolina really relegated to being a stepping stone job now moving forward? Say it ain't so, will ya? This is Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate.